into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. We have just sung several songs concerning the Christmas angels. And the Bible is filled with accounts of them appearing and speaking and doing things concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have little manger scenes and will have an angel. Children will sometimes makeshift little angel wings for a Christmas play at school. Christmas cards will have pictures of Christmas angels. Angels show up in Christmas movies. Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life. Or A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. The three angels who are really the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, evidently angels. We have just sung several hymns. Let me mention a few others that include references to angels at Christmas. Of course, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Angels We Have Heard on High, Angels from the Realm of Glory, Wing Your Flight O'er All the Earth, Ye Who Sang Creation's Story, Now Proclaim Messiah's Birth. Or these lines, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Or, sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation, O sing all ye heavenly hosts above. Angels fill the Bible, great hymns, and they remind us of the significance of the birth of Jesus. So this evening, our meditation will be on the Christmas angels, to learn from their example and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are angels? Angels are not myths. They're not made up to entertain little children or older children. They are not fairies, pixies, brownies, or other such imaginary creatures. Angels are as real as you and I, but there are differences. They don't have bodies like we do. They are spirits. They are older than we are. They never die. They are smarter than we are. They never forget. They are stronger than we are. They are able to do miracles. Some are good angels. Some are bad angels called demons. They are stronger than we are. The good angels have never sinned and never will. We have sinned, but we have been redeemed. Angels are not the bride of Christ like we are. They are the happy servants of Christ. Now, angels fill the universe. They're invisible to us. You could say they dwell in an invisible parallel universe. They come and go in this universe unseen, and they are not limited by some of the limitations we have. Not being physical, they can go through walls and they can zip from one location to another as fast as the speed of light. They see us, but we don't see them. Isn't that interesting? Angels can see us. It's a matter of dispute whether they know what we're thinking, but they hear us and they see us even when we don't see them. The word angel simply means a messenger. They take the orders from God, not from us. We are not to pray to them. Though they are higher than us, we will be exalted above them. But meanwhile, they are sent on errands by God, and it's their highest duty to obey God, and they go quickly. They never disobey. They never gripe. So there's a good example for us. They always obey joyfully and lovingly. And they appeared off and on in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. For example, think about angels in the life of Jesus. You remember he was tempted and tested for 40 days in the wilderness. What happened at the end? Mark 1 tells us that after 40 days of prayer and fasting, angels appeared and ministered to him, probably brought him food and encouragement. And then toward the end of his life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed in such agony that there were drops of blood dropping down like sweat from his brow, and Jesus was pleading in prayer The Gospel of Luke says an angel appeared comforting him. And then moments later, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came with clubs and ropes to drag him away like a wild animal, Jesus said, "Peter, put up your sword. Don't you know that I could ask the Father and he would send thousands of angels to rescue me?" Angels were looking on with their swords ready to protect Jesus. They were always around Jesus. And then, of course, when Jesus rose from the dead, they were there at the empty tomb to greet the women witnesses. And then, of course, they escorted him to heaven. And the Bible says they will come with him when he returns to the earth. Wherever Jesus is, angels were there because they looked up to him as their Lord. Now, this evening, I ask you to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, if you have a Bible. And we'll particularly concentrate on the angels' ministry and the birth narratives concerning our Lord Jesus. First, in Luke chapter 1, we find out about Zacharias and Elizabeth, the distant relatives of Mary and Joseph. And it says that Zacharias was a priest, and it was his turn to serve in the temple. And then verse 11, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And then Zacharias saw it, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And now the angel begins to speak to him. And notice he says, 'Do not fear.'" Often when angels appeared in the Bible, people were afraid. You see, angels are not little Cupid-like creatures that are cuddly, that look like little babies with little miniature wings. Not in the Bible. When they appeared, they usually appeared as strong, fierce, dangerous soldiers with a spear or with a sword in their hand, and people were usually afraid. Maybe Zacharias feared this angel was coming to punish him for his sins. And so the angel says, "Do not fear." So the angels often say, "Do not fear." And now he begins to give the message to Zacharias that he and his wife will have a child, even though they are past childbearing days. Verse 14, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at the birth of this baby." This would be John the Baptist. By the way, the angel identifies himself down in verse 19, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." Now skip down to verse 26. The angel disappears, goes away. Elizabeth conceives. John is born. And now the angel shows up a second time, starting in verse 26. "In the sixth month," that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, "the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." So he's moved to another location and appears to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Gabriel. So here comes Gabriel again on another mission. And now he's making a still greater announcement of the miraculous birth of someone greater than John the Baptist. This would be the announcement of the conception and birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just as Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were not able to conceive naturally, it took a miracle. The same thing with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph and Mary had not come together yet as husband and wife. So a miracle would be performed so that this baby would be special. And it was a special miracle. We'll look at that tomorrow morning. It would not be like Elizabeth and Zacharias, where Zacharias was the father. In this case, the father would not be Joseph, but would be God himself. And so he makes this announcement to Mary, who is probably just a teenage Jewish girl. And she's, again, is wondering, how can this happen? Look at verse 30. The angel says, "Do not be afraid." There are those wonderful words again. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." He makes this great announcement, and she is overwhelmed with the wonderful privilege. And of course, she's talking to an angel right there. Every Jewish girl had wished she could be the mother of the coming Messiah. And now she says, "Me? I'm going to be the one?" And then she says, "It can't be me. I'm not married. But wait, the Messiah is supposed to be the Son of God. And the angel said, you will be the mother. And she says, how can this be? I've never had relations with a man. And so the angel has to explain it to her. Verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that's a phrase used in the Bible for the Holy Spirit doing this wonderful miracle. And the power of the highest will overshadow you, Mary. Therefore, that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God, not the Son of Joseph. Joseph will be the stepfather. You will be the mother. God will be the father. And then he explains how God has done the miracle with Elizabeth, verse 36. And nothing's impossible with God, verse 37. And Mary tried to understand, couldn't understand more, but she believed the word of God through the angel, and she submitted, and she believed. And so she said in verse 38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So this is what Luke says about the announcement from the angel, first to the older couple, now to Mary. Now he's sent on another mission. Over in Matthew chapter 1, the angel now has to come and make the announcement to Joseph, who was still just engaged to Mary, and he knew that they had not been married, and being a just man, he had not touched her yet. And yet, in these months that followed, Mary was expecting, and I guess you could say she was beginning to show it. Rumors were beginning to spread. And Joseph had heard about it, and now his heart is broken. How could Mary be unfaithful to me? We'll have to break it off. And being a just man, he didn't want to put her to shame. Bible says that he was minded to divorce her quietly, and now the angel shows up to him. Matthew 1 says, the angel came and said, Joseph, don't break off the engagement. She's been faithful. You're not the father. Another man's not the father. God is the father. He's making the announcement to Joseph after the fact, just like he made the announcement to Mary before the fact. By the way, it's probably the same angel, Gabriel, going back and forth making all these announcements. And he gives the explanation and says, take Mary to be your wife. The baby will be called first Emmanuel, which means God is with us, but also Jesus, which means Jehovah, Yahweh, is our Savior. And that the miracle had happened, now they get married, and later the baby is born. Angels also appear off and on after this. You see, the Bible says God sent His Son into the world to be the Savior. Angels are, as it were, the messengers giving the announcement, and they do various miracles, but they're not the center of attention. Angels are not the Savior. The angel said Jesus would be the Savior. He is the Son of God. They're only doing their job making the announcements. God didn't send an angel to become our Savior. And God didn't become an angel to be our Savior. We'll explore that a little bit tomorrow morning. God didn't become an angel. Hebrews 2 says that God became a man to save men. God didn't become an angel to save angels. The good angels don't need saving. And God hasn't chosen any of the fallen angels to be saved. If He had, God would have had to become an angel to save them. But God didn't become an angel. And the angel said, the Son of God became a man. 1 Peter 1:12 is an interesting verse. It says that angels knew that there were Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. And they had a holy curiosity. How is this going to happen? They were as curious as Mary was when she heard the announcement. The angels wondered when, how, where. They were looking forward to the birth of the Messiah. And then, of course, on that holy night when Jesus was born, angels were looking on, and now their curiosity was fulfilled and transformed into worship. Then we turn to Luke chapter 2. And we look at the verses that have already been read before us about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ on that holy night. And then the shepherds sitting around the campfire watching over their sheep. And then an angel shows up. Which one do you think he was? Probably Gabriel again on another mission. He is, I guess you'd say, the Christmas angel because Michael is not mentioned. And he shows up to these Jewish shepherds watching over their sheep, maybe counting them one last time, sitting around the campfire, maybe praying, maybe telling Jewish stories. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord appears to them out of nowhere. How do you think they responded? With fear. Again, worried, maybe God's going to punish us. Because they had known their Hebrew Bible that God had sent angels sometimes to punish people. And so the Bible says here, they were very afraid. Maybe they fell on the ground trembling. Please, please don't punish us. We know we are guilty. Have mercy on us. And you know what the angel says to them again? Do not be afraid. There's a lesson for us, dear friends. There are times we go through fearful circumstances. We're afraid of losing our health, our job, other things. When we trust in God, we can hear the echo of what the angel says. Do not be afraid. If God is on your side, you have nothing to be afraid of. Just trust God. That's what the angels tell us. But the angel wasn't just there to tell them, don't be afraid. Verse 10 says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. He didn't bring them bad news of punishment, but good news of redemption and salvation. And he says, it's good tidings, great joy for all the people. And here's the golden announcement. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They had known about the prophecies for centuries, and they're saying, now he's come. It's as if they're ringing the bell. He's born tonight. All those prophecies and promises have been fulfilled here tonight in the little town of Bethlehem. And I'm making the announcement to you. And he makes the announcement that the Savior would be Christ the Lord. And the angel says, go there and visit the little baby. And then it says, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Those are the other angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So first there was one angel, and perhaps he just kind of fades away. And the shepherds look up in the sky, and other angels begin to appear. I can picture one of the shepherds saying, look, over there, hey, angels. Another one says, over here in the east, down in the south. And they looked all over the sky, and it would be filled with holy angels, all worshiping God. Now, the shepherds sitting out on a hill every night would be accustomed to looking up in the sky and seeing the stars and maybe the moon and maybe even a meteor from time to time, maybe even a comet. And maybe they'd tell stories about the star. Which one is your favorite? Doesn't that one kind of look like a horse? Thousands of stars up there. Astronomers tell us that with our eyes, we can see on average about 3,000 stars with our eyes. But if we had to have a telescope, especially one of these huge ones, they say we couldn't count the stars up there. Did you know the astronomers have said there are probably more stars in our known universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches? And I'm persuaded to think there are probably as many angels as there are stars in the sky. Just ponder that. And then as they looked up, they didn't see little points of light that were stars. The shepherds looked up and the sky would be filled with thousands, millions, tens of millions of angels everywhere they looked. And what were the angels doing? Worshiping, singing. And what a song it must have been. Have you ever heard a large choir? I don't mean just a little singing group in church. Have you ever heard a large professional choir with trained voices and musicians not missing a note and they're in perfect harmony? Years ago, I heard a professional choir of over 100 professional trained singers sing Handel's Messiah. Boy, the goosebumps ran up and down my back, and I said, now that's singing, and it was a glorious anthem. But it was nothing compared to what these shepherds heard that night, because every single one of the angels didn't need music lessons. They sang in perfect harmony, alto, soprano, bass, tenor, baritone, and probably in tones and harmonies that we have never imagined, let alone heard. We couldn't imitate that. They can sing better than anything here on earth. And the shepherds were the audience listening and watching We don't know how long this lasted. We're only given a capsule of what they were singing. Maybe this was just a chorus and there were other verses. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It would have been otherworldly, it would have been supernatural. Perfect pitch, perfect harmony, sung with the right attitude. And of course, the shepherds would have been overwhelmed by seeing and hearing the angelic choir. And then gradually the angels began to go away one by one, and they'd look up over here and the angels would just disappear, and over there, and they all disappeared back into heaven. And the shepherds were left on their little hill with just the sheep, speechless. And they too worshiped. And they obeyed the angel and went down to Bethlehem to visit the baby. We began by quoting Hebrews 1:6. It says, when God brings forth His firstborn into the world, He says, let all the angels of God worship Him. That is a command that went forth throughout the whole universe, seen and unseen. The voice of God the Father, angels, worship my Son. And notice it says, all the angels. Wherever they were on their holy missions throughout the universe, perhaps they're told how to guide the stars in their orbit or to help the planets revolve around their respective orbs. But on that holy night, God said, whatever you're doing, stop. Worship my Son down on that little planet Earth, down there in the little town of Bethlehem, laying in that little manger. Worship Him. And all the angels turned their holy gaze to Him. And they sang to Him. And of course, the shepherds got to hear some of it. But as they are invisible to us, they were singing, as it were, behind the curtain of creation. They could all hear themselves singing and worshiping Him in the manger. Worshiping the Son of God. Let all the angels of God worship Him. We are forbidden to worship angels. In the book of Revelation, John the Apostle fell down before an angel that had showed him around heaven and began to worship. And the angel said, stop that! Worship God alone! Remember what Jesus said to the devil out in the wilderness with the angels invisibly looking on? He said to Satan, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. What am I saying? On this holy night, all the angels worship Jesus! Which tells us Jesus is God. He wasn't an angel. The angels were worshiping Him on that holy night. Jesus is God. Job 38:7 says that when God created the universe and the angels were created before us, immediately the angels began to rejoice and sing at the moment of creation. You see, angels worship God. And when they looked around and saw the beautiful universe that God created and saw the effervescence of His glory, the angels rejoiced and worshiped God. Angels are a singing bunch, and so should we be. Not only that, Luke 15 says that when sinners repent and get saved, angels rejoice. Fred, I wonder if they sing. Of course they sing when even one sinner repents, Jesus said. When one lonely sinner way out there falls on his face and says, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, save me, I repent, I believe. The choir of angels break out singing. Now, my point is this. If the angels rejoice and worship and sing at creation, and that when a person is saved, how much more did they rejoice and sing on that holy night when Jesus was born? This was their greatest joy on that occasion. Something else. Isaiah 6 tells us that when Isaiah went up to heaven and got to see the beatific vision of God, the curtain was open and he got to see God. He also saw angels worshiping God on the throne of the universe, and they got to hear the angels sing. And what do the angels sing? Holy, holy, holy. In the book of Isaiah, it's in Hebrew, they were singing Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. You see, they were covering their eyes, they were covering their feet with their wings. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. Book of Revelation, 800 years later, the same angels are singing in Greek. And they are saying, oh, God is so holy, holy, holy. Angels worship and they sing. But there's another secret. John 12 says, and back in Isaiah, the angels were worshiping not just God is Trinity or God the Father. It explicitly says in verse 39, they were worshiping Jesus on the throne. Now, on this holy night, they were worshiping Jesus not just on the throne, but in the manger and later on the cross. And they continue to worship Him. Holy, holy, holy. How do we apply the lesson of the angels? Don't get sidetracked in just thinking about the angels on your Christmas cards or even in the songs. The two lessons are these. Imitate the angels. They rejoice, let us rejoice. They worship, let us worship. Who? Jesus. God made man to be our Savior. Forever and ever, let us worship Him. You see, it says in Hebrews 1:6, let all the angels of God worship Him. How about this? Let all the saints of God worship Him. On Christmas Eve, on Christmas Day, or on every day of the year. Because, brethren, we will do this for all eternity. Book of Revelation says in chapters 4 and 5 that both saints and angels worship this same Jesus. And the second lesson is this. Remember I said all the angels were looking directly at Jesus from around the universe in some mysterious way. Wherever they were, eons, light years away, they were able to see that baby in the manger, and all their heart's desire and what they saw was focused on Him. Let our lives also be focused on Jesus. To be centered around Him in worship and in love, faith, and adoration. And then lastly, let us remember what the angel said to the shepherds. He says, this night is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel was right. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God as was promised to Mary? Is He your Lord and is He your Savior? During this Christmas season, let us sing like the angels. For in a way, we have a higher song than they have. They sing because He is the Messiah sent to save men. We are the men He came to save. They are His servants. We become the bride of Christ. We sing a song that even the angels cannot sing. He is our Savior. Is He your Savior? If He is, worship Him. And love Him with all of your heart. Let us pray. Father, at this very moment, the heavenly choir in heaven is singing anthems of adoration to Jesus. We long to join them in heaven. To see Jesus, to sing with the angels and saints, and to worship Him. But now, O Father, by faith, we see Jesus on the throne, in the manger, on the cross, out of the tomb, and on the throne of the universe again, and in our heart. We love You, Lord Jesus. We worship You. We adore You. We trust in You. We submit to You. And like the angels, we joyfully sing Your praise. And it is in Your holy name that we pray. Amen.